Welcome to The Ether. Today is Monday, March 21st, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the lunatic community. Have you heard about the new Terra Invest Strategy Discord server Orbital Command spun up? If you're looking for a chill place to chat about different Luna stacking strategies, or looking for some alpha, or if you're trying to find the best UST farms, or even if you just have a quick question you need answered, be sure to stop by TIS and say hi to the Orbital Command gang. Hell, I'm even in there sometimes when I'm not editing hours of CeFi spaces. You can find me in that server chatting about NFTs and answering basic Terra Luna questions. The link to the server is in the show notes, and for more information, check out orbitalcommand.io. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, it's a CeFi space, strategy sharing. Let's take a listen.
Hey, gang. If anyone wants to hop on and chat, go right ahead. I'm just going to like kind of do a little open mic time and catch up before we do that Prism session with Lucky later on, where we kind of walk through how to use the protocol and possible sort of strategies you can use to use it. Let me get Carefree on. Hey, Carefree, what's up?
Oh, yeah, Safi. Cheers. I just wondered, I don't know if you want to actually talk about Anchor, but I just want...
Anything's fine. We're yeah. I'm just sort of chilling.
I just wanted to know what your opinion is on the proposal that's on the governance at the moment about the dynamic rate. I personally think that the Anchor being a stable rate has just always been a better sort of selling point, and I've just thought it's just better marketing in the most volatile, you know, asset class in the planet. To have something that's stable has always been a really kind of good marketing tool. So even if they dropped it from like 20 to 15 or even 10, as long as they kept it stable, in my opinion, that would be better. But I just wonder what you thought about that.
Yeah, there's different ways to solve this earn reserve problem. One is obviously to pay less money out. You know, like ultimately, though, unless you subsidize this earn pool, even if you have a dynamic rate, the number of potential new people that are depositors on there are huge, right? I mean, even if you bring Bonded Atom, Bonded Solana, and whatever to Terra, and somebody posted today that Testnet does have Bonded Atom as well as Bonded Avalanche on it, those are coming. But how much TVL is that? Are those things going to bring to us right now? Is not really fully clear. Obviously, Bonded Ethereum brought a lot of total value locked and a lot of revenue to the system. But I don't know that that would necessarily be the case with like an Atom and a Soul and all those things. And the reason is because obviously, those DeFi platforms could already have possible ways to borrow off your money as it is. So number one, Anchor would have to be more competitive than other things that they already have on those platforms. Atom doesn't have a platform, so that's sort of the most obvious utility for Atom, but you would be giving up a sizable amount of yield to actually use bonded Atom, right? So that's because it's a 15% APY right now. So I don't know what the total amount of revenue that's going to generate, but even if no matter what they bring in, the yield reserve wouldn't make it just with those things either. So then the question is, yeah, does LFG pump money into Anchor for a couple of years and sort of get people used to that sort of gateway drug for a couple more years? I tend to prefer that. I think that's a good use of the TFL funds. Like, what else are they going to do with like $30 billion worth of Luna or whatever it's worth right now? And if Luna makes another upward move in price, which I think it will, I think we're going to head off to easily like 130 plus now. So then, you know, you have your Luna is worth even more that's sitting in the TFL funds. And the most straightforward way to get that out into the community would be, you know, you donate to LFG, LFG donates it to Anchor, to the Anchor Earn like yield reserve, and then not yield reserve, but the depositor reserve, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, you pay that out to people. Now, how much of that is going to generate mercenary capital that sort of flows in to just sort of like soak up that yield, and how much of it's going to generate new users? It's going to be hard to say. You're going to get both, and all these proposals to try to like limit the way protocols can use Anchor, I don't think they're feasible. I think either Anchor works for any type of capital that wants to come in, or it doesn't work, you know, without creating lots of different barriers to entry. And like, you know, when people said, oh, you have to stake some Anchor and, you know, try to do some kind of boosty effect, all that is too complicated, I think, for external protocols and neobanks. So if TFL were to say, fund that reserve, and they've already made decision that they're going to do that, then this protocol, this proposal may not make sense to mess around with right now. On the other hand, you know, if you top off this yield reserve yet again, and on top of that, do some kind of throttling of the Anchor Earn APY, it may work. You know, it depends on how they finally do the math on that. But I think it creates, like you said, a lot of confusion. And right now, I see the Anchor Earn rate as like a big, just basically airdrop in a way to get UST into the hands of as many possible users as possible. And while the Earn reserve is available, you sort of want to bring in as many sort of neobank users as you possibly could. Introduce them to Terra, hopefully get them using some of the other protocols. You know, what other solutions do we have, and what kind of time horizon is necessary to fix this issue? One, for people on Terra already who are not just simply leeching the Anchor yield reserve, you would want to ultimately make higher yield than what Anchor is paying in theory. And we've talked a lot about how to develop different, you know, bots and vaults and things to achieve that. And I think that's very, very doable. In fact, it's easily doable to get higher than 20% APY on volatility-based trading systems. And then beyond that, it's kind of like, where is the money coming from to generate some revenue for that Anchor Earn is basically the money that actually is deposited there, right? Like, there's no obvious reason why some of the money deposited in Anchor Earn couldn't actually be put to work. The thing is, we have not had, outside of like LPs and whatnot, which are, you know, they do earn some yield, you know, or is that the best, most stable way to earn yield for that huge of a TVL? You know, you have to have, if you're going to have like $1 billion from Anchor go into some sort of protocol, it has to scale such that like the size of the amount of money involved doesn't necessarily cause you to lose like trading opportunities. So I don't know if this makes sense, but basically you have to have a system that's scalable. The only thing I can think of with high enough liquidity where that is scalable would be a Bitcoin volatility arbitrage vault. And fortunately, we have BTC probably coming to Terra with between Thorchain and what's happening with LFG and their mechanism. So hopefully a system gets put in place where the anchor earn can actually make something by investing at least some of the UST being deposited there. And that would be an interesting play, such that, you know, if people wanted to withdraw from Anchor, they could, right? But, you know, in the setting of a bank run where everybody had to withdraw from Anchor, you might have a problem. But, you know, how often does that happen with banks anyway? So anyway, that was kind of my theory of where Anchor should go. But for the short term, I think the LFG Luna burn to top this off for a couple of years makes a lot of sense to me, both as a way to get rid of the LFG and or the TFL Luna centralized chest, war chest, and also a way to promote the ecosystem and benefit all of us indirectly, right? So that's kind of my thoughts on that. Now, I wasn't sure what to vote for on there. My instinct is to vote no, only because I'd like to see what TFL LFG's maybe formal announcement is going to be in terms of how that, you know, how much money is going to be deposited into that system as we go forward. It would be nice if Luna's price went up a bit more before they go burn it for UST, right? So you can plug more money into that system.
Yeah, I agree. It sort of sounds like you agree with me slightly that it's that, you know, I think that sort of onboarding sort of normal people through neobanks is super important, and basically I just think it just gets too complicated to do that with a dynamic rate. So I voted no, but
I don't disagree at all that you can't maintain a 20% APY on this thing indefinitely, right? Like, there's no way that's possible. So it's no question it's a promotional rate,
yeah,
in the purest sense. Like, you know, where are you going to find all these borrowers to bring in proof of stake assets, right? So
I think that's
a factor that that's just an important factor to just keep in mind. Not only that, but think about it this way: the TVL of all the various L1s is not so big, right? If you have tons and tons of people coming into Terra with their bonded Atom and their bonded Solana and shit, like, we're going to leech those systems out into the ground, right? Like, we're worried about Anchor, like, entire layer ones will be leached out if you have like some of the vaults I've been talking about building, because then you're basically converting the inflationary yields of tons of different coins into UST, right? Like, that's what's cool about bonded Atom. You can get a 15% APY on that sucker, and you can yield to redirect that to buy yourself more Luna or something like that. And Atom's a bit more stable in price than, say, for example, Luna. And, you know, anyway, there's just a lot of different implications for DeFi. So the way you should look at this is like, okay, what if a lot of people actually use those things? What does that mean for the other chains? You know, what does that mean for Terra? You know, how sustainable is it for other chains versus Terra? And where does it take all of this exactly? So yeah, the Anchor thing is that's kind of my take. Is that pretty clear? My take means nothing, by the way. I don't, like, you know, I don't control what happens at Anchor, and I don't, you know, have enough governance power to sort of make a difference either way. So
it's pretty difficult for, like, the average person to get your head around, you know. So, like, when these proposals come up and I'm sitting there thinking, Jesus, am I going to read all of this and, like, try to absorb it all and then sort of come up with my own opinion of it, you know, and stuff, it's hard. So no, I appreciate that. I appreciate you answering that.
I think, and I don't know, we haven't heard very much about the idea of using the UST in the Anchor Earn deposit vault to actually invest in anything. I guess the worry there would be you're going to add additional smart contract risks and other stuff in terms of securing people's money. Anchor works kind of smoothly now because it's simple. You know, what hasn't been clarified is, you know, where that's going to revenue is going to come from. And here's the other thing too. Like, let's say there was a protocol that generated 20% APY, right? Or a company that generated 20% APY. Who in the right mind normally would give away 20% revenue of a business to just anybody that shows up, right? Like, in other words, if you go to Apple and let's say they make, you know, 20% a year or something, and you just, you know, you park UST at the Apple company, and are they going to give you like 20% for that? Not necessarily. So that's not, you know, even if you could generate that much yield, would you just give that away to the consumer is a big question mark, right? Because technically, if it was making that much money, you'd want to make money for like my phone's kind of ringing there. So, but you understand what I'm saying? Like you would basically, so far the ANC token holders haven't been looked after yet either. And, how to bring value back to the ANC token besides the little bit of buybacks they're doing is not clear. So who knows?
Yeah.
Let's see if anyone else has any, comments here. Here's Lucky's hopping up here, and Lucky and I are going to, did you kind of figure out what you're going to do for that Prism thing?
Which one?
Are we doing that this evening where we're doing the walkthrough?
Tonight's more like the beginner's walkthrough.
The beginner, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beginner, yeah. We can touch upon Prism if we want. I can definitely hit that.
Doing like a Twitch.
Yeah, the Twitch, Akeem and Tim are coming for the athletes. Yeah.
Okay. So, and who's showing up for that?
Akeem Hunt and Tim Duncan.
And these guys do what? I'm like sports illiterate, by the way.
They're NFL, ex-NFL players.
Oh, okay, NFL. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So they're bringing in their sports friends to kind of hang out and just kind of like understand what's happening in this DeFi world.
Yeah, like learn Luna. The one guy wanted me to tag all the Washington Nationals players to teach them because I guess they're all asking what the hell this Luna thing is.
That actually makes perfect sense.
So I might do a blast here, like in another 2 hours, to tag all the national players to help.
That's
them
funny. Off. Okay, yeah, that might work. Anyway, yeah, some of the stuff that Jimmy posted was kind of relevant to this. He posted a if you guys check LeJimmy's Twitter. He has a link to a calculator he created, where you punch in your Terra address and it analyzes the amount of Y-Luna and how much X-Prism you have and how much booster effect you have and whatnot, and kind of puts you on a spectrum on there of like where you are in terms of how well you're earning in terms of efficiency of your ratio of X Prism to Luna or Y Luna. And I'm not totally sure I fully understood the graph. I'll have to look at it a little bit more carefully. I just sort of played with it.
Where were you? Were you like in the top corner? Like,
I don't even remember what's good on that. Is it the bottom or the top?
I don't know.
So I was kind of in the like in the kind of upper left quadrant, you know, and what I have is pretty much a very high proportion of Prism token compared to how much Luna I actually have deposited there. You know, my thought was to sort of like, have my bonded Luna ARB and all that kind of stuff still going in the background, and then just only do this with a portion. So I've got my, average price, I believe, on my Prism token was maybe around low 30 cent range now, because I bought some at like 24 also when that initial dump happened. And then I've got, but my proportion of Prism tokens was actually, the value of the tokens was actually rising considerably compared to the value of my Y Luna, because the token value's gone up, right? So I figured, okay, well, I'll throw some more Y Luna in there and see, you know, where that takes me. Because if I leave it at a high APY of where I'm at, that's great. But if my goal is to acquire a greater proportion of the Prism token, it makes sense to throw more Y Luna in that pool, because that's how you get a bunch of new Prism token, right? Like, it, you get the higher, you get the rewards paid for farming that Prism token. And the higher the Prism token's price goes, the more it makes sense to farm more of it than to go buy it outright, right? Because, like, you know, now the price is higher, and, you know, it might go a lot higher, by the way. In fact, I'm sure it's going to go a lot higher. But so it's still technically cheap in the grand scheme of things. The cheapest way to get it would, at this point for me, because I already have a good chunk of it, would be actually just to farm it by adding more.
And the APY is going to be significantly more in the long run.
Yeah, exactly. And right. Well, the Prism token itself has like a 25% plus APY, which is great, right? Right. So if I add more Y Luna in there now, my APY is about, what, 65% or something like that. So if I go ahead and do the 65% APY, you know, I drop from like 70 to 65 by adding more Y Luna in there. You know, that's going to print me more Prism tokens, which then have a 20 some odd percent APY. But like long run, I think the value of Prism is more likely to rise quicker than the value of Luna. If Luna goes up, the Prism token goes up anyway, because they're all tied to those pairs, right? It's going to, like, it's like a rising tide raises ships kind of a thing. It's going to go up anyway. And if it drops because, you know, all these Prism emissions that come out, people decide to sell, well, great. I can just pay cash and buy more Prism tokens to keep my Y Luna where it is by just borrowing off some Baden Luna and like throwing some more, you know, Prism token in there. So whoever goes and sells, I can take advantage of that, get a little bit more. If they don't sell, and the price just keeps rising, well, great, no big deal, because the emissions I'm getting are going to go up. So it's like this pretty cool flywheel effect. And you have all these different options in terms of how to play the game. You can add more Y Luna in, you can take some Y Luna out, you can, and then the question becomes also, like, when do you sell the X Prism token, right? There's another, like, strategy, because if you have a huge increase in the price of X Prism, you do end up with a situation where it's like, okay, like, let's say your X Prism token 10x's, right? Like, it almost doesn't matter how much yield you get at that point. It's going to be hard to beat just selling it at that point and taking profit on some portion of that. Would you think, Lucky? I mean, like, what's the magic number whereby, like, the yield makes more sense than selling the actual token?
I'm gonna have to, like, mathematically,
I'm not sure,
kind of put a number. I don't know.
See, they're
because, like, I don't know if I ever want to get rid of my Prism either for long.
That's
term.
The
like,
thing.
I'd rather just continue just to accumulate it forever and then just keep amping and then just keep boosting
with
forever.
With its, like, yield as good as it is, an argument can be made that that is the right choice, because when Bonded Atom arrives, which is it's about to, and if you're able to refract that, Atom's yield is a 15% APY. Like, imagine if you have a good chunk of Prism and you can get a greater proportion of the Y Atom yield. I mean, you're just going to rake in a shit ton of money. I mean, you could basically retire off of a few thousand. Most people could make a lot of money on their Bonded Atom, split. So it's, and then forget about that. Like, what about Osmosis or something like that? You know, where the yield's even higher and you're doing like a, you know, like right now, if I'm getting a 60%, I'm thinking about the APY here, 60 and. Again, and I don't know how sustainable the Prism, like, APY portion is, because eventually that Prism farm ends and then you're back to, like, normal refracting and all that. Right. So I don't know what the exact numbers will wind up being, but just imagine taking Atom, for example, and everybody else on the planet who's staking their Atom is making like 15%. And let's say you're making, you know, there's probably some LPs and such, like a be Adam LP that might make you something like double that. Let's say that gets you 30. And then there's going to be something like a, you know, then the Prism Amps thing, and maybe that gets you like 45%. But that's a really good APY on bonded Adam if you can get to that with the Prism system, or Osmosis or something like that. So it could be like
all I know is we harped on buying Prism when it was 30 cents. Check that box, not 72
exactly.
cents.
And one now, problem solved.
Now we're just using it to boost an APY, which is like insane. Like it's just crazy.
Yeah, there's no question. It's a power player sort of thing, Prism. You know, like in the sooner you can get it, and the more of it you can get, the better off you are. You know, and I think more things will come. Like we've talked about, like you know, like a additional yield farming where you could or yield redirection where you could take the yield from something and buy more Prism token with it later. When those kinds of vaults emerge, what will happen is that, again, it will push the Prism price up even further. You know, and even the trading activity on Prism is actually, I think Jimmy mentioned, it's like the number three DEX now after TerraSwap. It actually got above Loop's volume. And I'm going to be interviewing the Terraformer people on Friday, but their DEX, TFM, I think, .com, they include Prism in the actual yield, not yield, the DEX aggregator that they built on TFM.com. So you can go like straight from like, oh, I don't know, like you can go to ANK token and you can go all the way to XPrism token direct through that aggregator, which is cool. So in other words, all those aggregators are going to bring more traffic through the Prism DEX, and all of those like neat little things are going to add value to the XPrism stakeholder. So I don't know, the Prism token itself might end up being one of the most like lucrative tokens to hold forever on Terra, possibly, if it you know, maybe Astroport, maybe, but the tokenomics for Prism seem pretty damn good. Like even after like team unlocks happen later on down the line and you know it gets diluted some, it may not matter.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think when it, in the long run, when there is no more emissions and you're holding it, what's the value that it's going to provide to us? Some boost that they'll be able to give us or something? Maybe the transaction fees that happen on the...
Well, no, you can still get the... You may still get, a booster effect, utility effect from the Prism token. They can add all sorts of utility pretty readily. Like to me, maybe you get more utility for the LP holder.
But that's what I'm thinking.
They're trying
which I'll always want.
Yeah, they're trying to create like a curve war type of situation where DAOs and whatnot want to hold this token, not dump it, and they want to acquire as much of it as possible to basically benefit their DAO by, you know, directing yields maybe in the future to certain, like in other words, the more of it you hold, the more yields you get on your LPs or something like that compared to everyone else. So they can do these kinds of schemes ultimately. But Marty, you had your hand up. What's up?
Yeah, I was just trying to think about the flywheel thing here, which is, doesn't the flywheel kind of always work if they just kind of release every 3 or 6 months a new token that they want to like put their boosties on?
Exactly. Then, it should. Right. Like not only boosties, but like remember, you wind up with all these LPs you have to fill, right? Because like let's say Adam comes in. You got Y Adam Prism LP. You're going to have the C Adam Prism LP. You're going to have the, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So you're going to wind up having several LPs for each new coin that emerges in there. And that and then Prism token has to be purchased to deploy to that, which
and so the curve effect. I mean, they can also do the, they can also go to, I don't know, pick your favorite on Terra chain thing and say, hey, you know, let's do a double boost, you know, or a double emission, you know, with your protocol, just like Osmosis does as well.
Yeah, the idea is to incentivize the use of the coin to provide benefits to the people who provide liquidity on the platform. Because long term, if you think about it, like let's say the yield on the, I don't know, the Y Luna Prism LP is not as high. Some of the benefits on the platform in terms of yield APY will probably have to go to incentivizing those pools at some point, right? Like, let's say your X Prism yield runs 30% all the time, but your LP yield runs, you know, 15%. Why in the hell would anyone want to provide the LP, right? So you would need to incentivize that at some point. And the most obvious way to do that would be to direct the incentives to some extent based on your ownership of Prism token. So now you still have a reason to own the Prism token. But to, in order to get participate in some of the yield, maybe you'd have to get some of those participate in some of those LPs as well. So anyway, Joking, or how do you say your name?
Right. Thank you. Thank you for hosting this space. I got into Terra space because I'm a fellow Korean, or to support another Korean. But I learned so much, and especially from what you tell, just listening to you, I learned a lot. I have two questions, not to get off track, but I'm in Anchor. I'm borrowing and leveraging off of that. Now, I just bought a hardware ledger. And how do you transition what you have, those assets, to the hardware ledger?
You really can't transition. You'd need to make a new wallet with your ledger, with your desktop Chrome extension, and then you would populate that wallet with money. But you can't move your existing wallet to your ledger, to my knowledge, unless someone knows otherwise. Lucky, any thoughts on that?
No, I don't know.
I don't believe there's a way to move it. I think you have to create that wallet natively for that. I think you have to unwind, but here, Cedric is here. He probably knows the answer to that question. One sec. Cedric, do you hear that question?
Yeah, you definitely have to create a new wallet. It's the only way to attach a ledger to your Terra.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
You have to kind of unwind your assets and then, set it up in another wallet with the ledger.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah. But, you know, in some ways, you know, hot wallets aren't necessarily overtly unsafe. Like, if it's on a phone, for example, and it's a modest amount of money you're playing with, the phone wallet connect creates a pretty good walled garden. You're not going to get a keylogger attack on an iPhone, for example, because you're basically, you know, have a walled garden of the iPhone. You're not going to get there's nothing a SIM swap attack can do to your wallet. So that's out. Even if someone got into your phone or something like that, I guess if someone got into your phone, there might be an issue, but even then you can enable like a Face ID deal. The problems you can have with a phone wallet or a ledger wallet, the one that most people fall prey to, which is to go to an inappropriate website, like a fake Anchor website or something like that, you can make that mistake even with a ledger as well. So you need to be aware that, like, once you put in a transaction, accept, whether you're on a ledger or whether you're doing it on just a hot wallet, you can be screwed with either one if you go to the wrong site for something, or if some kind of like front end attack happened to a platform. So that's why a lot of people recommend having more than one wallet, either way, maybe split up your funds to the extent that it's feasible for you. And in that way, if something happens during one of your, you know, adventures, you don't lose everything in theory.
Right. Right. Thank you. Secondly,
I think Stephen had a comment about the same thing you were maybe asking about, because he came up.
Okay. Stephen, you have a question? No. I thought he was finished speaking. I'll jump in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah. What? Any other questions?
Yeah, sorry. The second question is that I have a group of people that I'm trying to get onto the crypto. In your experience, what is the best response to those who, just say that crypto is too risky?
Too risky from what angle? You mean, like, there's different elements to it. There's security, there is price volatility,
risky from all of them.
I would say that any early assets, in, even in equities, like are going to be technically price risky. There's nothing specific about crypto that's dramatically more so. The key with crypto, though, is the primary risk is that you have no clue what you're doing. And the primary risk is the person themselves, in the sense that if they don't know what they're buying, then the problem is, what Lucky and I have noticed when people ask a bunch of questions is people don't know what they need to buy that's useful. And therefore, like, their own lack of knowledge usually tends to be their biggest risk, not necessarily. Like, once you get past the security risks and things of that nature, it tends to be more not understanding smart contract risk, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know. It depends. Like, also, there is a general phrase people use, don't risk what you can't lose. So, you know, a reasonable thing for people to do is get their feet wet with tiny amounts of money, right? And a lot of people, they don't want to do that. And those people just want to get rich quick, right? or B, they don't want to learn anything new. So I find these two camps to be the most common, in the sense that, like, if you tell people, oh, you know what, just play with $100 or whatever, and, you know, get on a platform, play with it, see what kind of things are happening. How do you, you know, set in orders and limit orders and whatever. And, you know, what people end up doing is they don't want to do the legwork unless any significant amounts of money are involved. If they don't have significant amounts of money, they feel like it's, like, not worth even doing the legwork, because then, you know, like, their $100 is going to become, what, $1,000? You know, it's just not, in their mind, it's not life-changing or whatever. And so there's all these different impediments to people's behavior that lead them sort of not to learn the things that matter. And if you look at a lot of people in the crypto space who've actually learned the most, it's actually the people that have taken the most risk and maybe even lost the most, actually, in that they learned a tremendous amount by losing, and they didn't realize why the price went down that much. They didn't understand, you know, price volatility dynamics, and then, you know, got wrecked. So it just depends. Like, some people, they learn by getting wrecked. And, you know, everyone's, you know, bought something too high at some point or the other, and that's a worthwhile experience. And in some ways, you can't fully take that experience away from people. Otherwise, they just, like, by coddling them too much, they don't learn anything too, which is an interesting problem. On the other hand, like, if your first experience, you know, in Las Vegas or in a casino or in stocks or in crypto is to win a lot of money, like, let's say the first time you bought something, you spent 100 and, oh my God, it went to 1,000. Then you think you're a genius. And the problem is that then you take all sorts of stupid risks after that too. So I don't know that there's a mix of lessons to be had. Yeah, I think it's different for everybody and how much money they're willing to play with.
Okay. Thank you so much.
But I don't think it's worthwhile to not participate, is my very strong opinion. It was worthwhile to be participating in the early computing boom. You know, when personal computers came about, it was early to participate in learning coding very early back in the day. It was even worthwhile participating in early MMO gaming back in the day. It was worth participating in, you know, so many elements of, like, the tech space over so much time. And most people that participated in that space, all the nerds, you know, that were hanging around doing these kind of things, long term have done pretty well for themselves, I would say, versus the people that don't jump into anything and they don't take any risks. They pretty much, with no risk, there's no reward either necessarily. So
that's
my theory.
Thank you.
After Stephen goes, I want to ask something, Sefi.
Yeah, sure. Stephen, what's up?
Cool. I would just add to that, say, human nature definitely has a big part to play in taking these risks. And I'd say that's the success of Coinbase, is people just want custody. I mean, if they're holding equities, they have a fund manager, and they don't know what their fund manager is buying, nor do they really care to look into it. And my question really was, I'm a Luna holder, about 200 Luna, nothing big here. And if I'm looking to get into DeFi, I'm a big noob in that space. So what do I do to start participating in, like, this ecosystem, CeFi?
Oh, yeah. I think tonight would be a great session for you.
Yeah. We're Lucky's going to open up a session where he goes through Prism protocol, where basically, what time is it going to be at Lucky, by the way? How many hours from now?
So 9:30 Eastern. So it would be 4 hours from now. I think we'll cover like the basics. We'll go over Anchor again, the looping strategy, and then we can jump into Prism.
Great. So yeah, he's going to have some like more crypto noobs or DeFi noobs on, and we're basically going to go through on Twitch. So you're going to be able to open up like your Twitch on a browser, watch that taking place and watch Lucky clicking some buttons, and then like taking breaks in between so you can ask questions like specific to what's going on there, so you can get a real good fundamental understanding of like what you're clicking, what's happening there, and like answer your questions in real time, like almost like a class. So the last one he did with like going over Anchor protocol and how to use all the different buttons on it was really productive. I think that's available is that available still, Lucky?
Yeah, it's available. I can find it and post it. Someone actually was going to put the audio for me together with the video, because we do the audio through Twitter and then the video through Twitch, so you kind of have to mash them up. And someone DM'd me and said they would put that together for me. I just haven't sent it to them yet. I got to send it to them.
Yeah, cool. So anyway, yeah, Steven, so that might be a good foray into it. Now, you know, Prism is a little bit more, I would say, sort of like not expert level, but kind of like medium level in terms of understanding the principles of, you know, crypto and yield and, you know, LP liquidity provision and whatnot. So it's definitely not like total newbie level, but I think it helps to like walk through one of those protocols that is a little bit more complicated just to spark your imagination, if nothing more. I think the first thing that you need to sort of look at would be probably how to use Anchor protocol. You know, whether or not you want to borrow off your Luna, or simple things like staking your Luna, things of that nature.
Did you catch that, Steven?
I caught that. Sounds good. 6:30 Pacific time, huh?
Yeah, 6:30 Pacific. And also take a look at the last couple PDFs I just posted on my Twitter. You know, look at that looping strategy. Look at the arbing strategy. Look at those two slides. See if you're doing those things also. Like, those are things that we'll touch upon just as, like, I would say beginners, just to understand. And then you can obviously go more in depth, like Prism, you know, as we go farther down this journey.
Right on. Yeah. Thanks, guys. I was just gonna say, CeFi, you sound like someone who does a podcast I used to listen to. Just don't know if you do podcasts or if you do.
Not specifically, but I got a twin in the podcast space. Well, cool.
All right, let me ask my question. So, strategy, right? Strategy sharing. Have you talked, or have we elaborated more on that, our second wallet we created? And are we continuing to max it, or are we just letting it be? Have you thought about that?
Max session? What now?
I said, remember when we started the second wallet strategy?
Yeah. And what about it?
Have you thought about when you're going to continue to max it, or are you just letting it go?
I haven't really even played with it, actually. I was waiting for some of my Luna to be like come out of being burned, right, in the Anchor system, and then kind of sorting that out here in a little bit. But whatever I do, I should probably do it before Luna's price goes up too much.
Yeah, I actually have some coming out of burn now. Is there any good ARBs for B Luna right now? Or
they're horrible lately.
They're kind of horrible this week, but that's okay. No, we were talking, Lucky was talking about like just the looping, like just hyper looping the Luna in Anchor and just barring the crap out of it.
Yeah, that's so scary. End up doing that with like my main wallet. I know I will if I start playing around.
Don't do it with your main wallet, Cedric. What the hell? We're just talking about a second wallet here.
Yeah, that's what I did. I created that second wallet with what's in there? there's 13 Luna in there right now that I maxed the hell out of, but I did it at like the $81 price. So now I'm like questioning, well, what do I do? I have some more LTV. Do I push it? Do I leave it? Do I wait for like 50% gain? So I'm just wondering if anyone has thought through the math around this.
I don't think your LTV should be hot. Like the lick price shouldn't be like past 80. I think going past 80, if you don't want to monitor it, it's kind of risky, but I take it up to at least 80.
All right, another thing you can do, Lucky, and this is what I do with my main wallet, is as the price of Luna goes up, like when the price of Luna went up now, what I did was I took some of my collateral out and I just went and sent it to get burned to go back to Luna with it. So you're actually sort of exiting out of there. So there's less actual Luna left to be liquidated in theory, right? Like, so if a drop were to happen from some higher price, you're already sort of de-risking that position without having to do a whole lot of anything. Or you could take the extra LTV available to you and just borrow off of that. And then you could do the, you could put the extra UST in Anchor Earn and then maybe buy more Luna with that yield or something.
Yeah, I'll have to figure out. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I'm at a 60. So we started this March 13th, right?
Or you just keep going with the idea that this is a
blow up wallet
intended to be liquidated, and just blow it out over and over again. Like, you just keep going.
Well, I'm wondering if there's a play to put the yield on like the UST on Kajira. Like, I'm just trying to do the math in my head. If I take the UST yield from 66, push it up to 75 or 80, then take my UST, put it on Kajira and sit there for liquidation. I gotta do the math on an
I had a question about Kajira. I was wondering about this because, like, let's say I enter like a 3% Kajira bid, and then what if like Luna goes up, say 10%, and then it drops 3%? Would I feel like the higher 3%? I mean, or is it 3% off what I enter it at in the first place?
No, Kajira is going to fill wherever liquidations begin on the way down, right?
Okay. So,
but the more people that are degenning this sort of stuff, the quicker those things are going to fill as price starts to fall, right?
Right.
So people are going nuts running 95% LTVs, and yeah, you're going to fill pretty quickly.
So if I entered it right now, let's say at 95, and then it ran up to 115. And then sat there for a little bit, and then it came down, I could potentially still fill it like 105.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Gotcha.
So there's no guarantee you're going to be buying a dip lower than the price you just got it at. That's the thing about
right.
So it's still a low risk position though, Kajira bids, right? Because you're getting that 15% anchor yield too.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, you see what I'm saying, right? If I push my LTV, take the UST, sit it in Kujira, if I get liquidated, I still pick up Luna, then I just reprovide that and remax it out again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. In this whole like degen wallet strategy, what we never figured out is what happens if Luna goes up. Like, what are we going to do with our position at that point, right? We didn't really think that through. Obviously, if it goes up, you're doing fine no matter what. So it's neither here nor there. We mostly focused on what happens if price goes down and how much of it gets liquidated, right? But if it starts to go up, an argument can be made just leave it alone and then slowly, like, you know, maybe borrow more and just trickle your LTV up. But the problem with doing that is what you're ending up with is you're buying high. That's my concern always with like pushing that LTV higher. I think the sane thing to do would be to actually remove Luna from that wallet, that collateral. And another way to do it, Lucky, would be you take that extra collateral that now you freed up, you take that and you stick it in another wallet and you degen that one separately. Like, so
just create a spin-off degen wallet.
Yeah, exactly. Every time the price of Luna rises, you take out that Luna collateral and you stuck it in another wallet and just degen that too. That might work out really well, actually.
I mean, that might work out because this is free UST that I'm... All right, I'm going to have to... Oh, God, all right.
See what happens now. Like, now see what you've done? No.
It's a slippery slope.
It's a slippery slope, yeah.
Yeah. What if you take it and throw into Kinetic too, and then take that, and then throw into Kajira. So you've got two... You got a self-repaying loan. You've got twice the amount of exposure.
Yeah, if Kinetic was locked. 15%.
Yeah, it's not once live, Kinetic's right? live. Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Once Kinetic shows up, yeah, there's a whole other layer of garbage.
Yeah, that's a whole
other. Yeah, but there's also, you could, what else could you do? You know, there's a fair amount of Terra alts that are looking pretty solid now, too, right? So the other possibility is you take, you know, something that's got a pretty good future potential, like an Astroport or an X Prism or something like that, and you get this extra sort of like collateral. You either borrow off it, get UST, and throw it in something else, right? That has no liquidation risk and has a high yield. That's another option. Or something that's going to have like real serious growth potential. Just throw it in that.
So let me just throw out the numbers for everyone so that you know what I'm working with, right? I took a $500 bet for my daughter. I took $500, and that $500, okay, turned into $1,300 of collateral right now. And I can borrow right now, I've borrowed $700. I can borrow another about 100, we'll say, to get to 75%. Essentially, if I can take that 100 and make back my 500, it doesn't matter if this wallet gets liquidated at that point, is what we're kind of saying. How do I take this 100 UST and make back to my 500 that I initially put in a second wallet, is really what we're saying.
Yeah. And not only that, but is there a position that could make you a good solid, like 2 or 3x off that $100, right? Like, you know, a real good, like, growth potential situation would be what exactly? And that's something to consider as well.
Because Prism 3 weeks ago, I would have done that.
Yeah, Prism 3 weeks ago. That's exactly what I did.
So wait, so you put in 500 in total, right?
I started with 500 when B Luna was around 81. I picked it up at 81. I maxed out all the way to 75%. So my borrowed value was around 690. So I had a wallet worth around 1300. I took a screenshot on my Twitter page.
So what you could do is take out $100 to bring your LTV up again, keep it in UST, and keep doing that until you get to 500 UST, and then just recreate the process again in a different wallet.
Yeah, you could just scoop $100 each time.
Assuming that Luna continues to climb.
Luna's right. Going to continue climbing, bro. Don't worry about it.
Right.
Yeah. You know what? Exactly. Don't worry about it. You know the other? That's funny, Cedric. What you could do, you know, it's interesting when Bonded Atom comes out, right? Or we have Refracted Atom. It's going to be pretty awesome to take that extra money we just talked about that you're peeling off and going and getting like Y Atom and just going completely berserk with that. Because with a 15% yield on that sucker, like, you know, the risk really drops substantially.
I think the question I want to figure out is like, where's the sweet spot to repool the UST? Like I'm at 66% loan to value. Maybe I let it go down to 60, then I pull it back up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to think of where that sweet spot is.
Yeah, I think it also depends on whether you plan on ever paying attention to it. Like, if you just want to let it ride and you don't care, that's one thing.
It's also different because like I'm at well over 65%, but I have a lot of money in UST. So like, yeah, you have to be more careful, I guess, because it's all looped into Luna. But like, that's not like a bad LTV to be at to continue getting more. But the problem is if you loop it again. But if you just hold it in UST, like you could safely go over that, you know?
Oh, yeah. And Lucky, good point. Cedric makes a good point. Because you're on your second wallet, you have borrow capacity over at Anchor with your existing Luna on your main wallet. You could always like spot borrow some UST there to go protect your second wallet briefly.
Yeah, I know that. I consider that cheating.
You consider it cheating? like being careful but not being liquidated is actually considered cheating now. Okay,
yeah, he's going full degen.
My wife. I said, I'm trying to go full degen and not cheat. That's cheating to me.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Now this is considered cheating. It's hilarious. But anyway.
Well, I was just going to add, I think Sayak, you pointed this out, and Sefi, I think you talked about it on your spaces the other day, that there's a $2,000 policy in place, right? So if you have less than $2,000, you get completely liquidated.
You get fully liquidated.
So you just got to watch that, Lucky.
Yeah. I know that risk I'm taking, but I get that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yo, I thought I could put an emoji that had like the 100. Whatever happened to that?
Oh, geez. Where have you been for the last 4 weeks?
I thought, I don't know if I'm missing something.
Now it's like hearts and shit. I don't know what's going on.
All right, well, if I do a heart, it means 100.
It doesn't mean you love Lucky.
Yeah, yeah. That's okay. My code for 100.
We got it.
It's like a thumbs up or 100 like implies that you agreed with something.
Yeah, there's like now, nothing. There's like nothing now.
Now it's like you either love it or you're laughing at it or you're clapping at it.
Hey, hey guys, can I suggest a truly degen strategy for Lucky with this?
Go for it.
Let me preface what I'm about to say. I've been doing this for almost 2 months now. I have not talked about this publicly, though, because this is like the center of the bullseye when it comes to degen. Like, please do not do this. But it's
not edge protocol, though, right?
You're like keeping secrets from us. What's wrong?
Well, okay. So before I actually say it, are you willing to go outside of the Terra, you know, ecosystem, or is that considered cheating? Because this is outside Terra.
We're making the rules as we go.
Okay.
We might have to the community vote.
All right. Here we go. Please forgive me for what I'm about to say.
Yeah, we just lay the train tracks.
So there's a class of DeFi projects that are called Tomb Forks. And most of them are complete garbage. But every once in a while, one of them works. And when they do, they print like nothing else in DeFi. I'm not going to get into what Tomb Forks are or anything like that. But there's a few of them that I could recommend to you where if you take the profit from your second wallet and you put it in the Tomb Fork, you can get anywhere from 2% to 200% a day in APR. So for example, I use a barbell strategy with my investing where like 0.5% or 1% of my profits from Terra go into these ultra high risky bets. And I'm actually, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, like I won't say a specific one because I just don't want people to get hurt. Most of these projects do not work out. A good majority of them rug your funds, so you will lose all your money. So very careful here as far as like not making specific.
But Yak, if you're in that situation, why not just go and like hop onto like a 10x long somewhere with
that?
A
was gonna
bit
be
money.
My
like,
that
why?
Was gonna be my other suggestion, actually.
Yeah. I was gonna say, like, why?
Well,
go
because
and, like,
I'm
to these like rug pull.
Yeah,
scenarios.
That's a really good point. And yeah, that was gonna be my other suggestion. The only thing is with these Tomb Forks, some of them do have staying power, and there's not such sophisticated people on the other side of the trade like there are with like super high leverage. Like there are ways that if you're sitting way out there on the risk curve with like futures leverage, people can see that on the exchanges and they can like pick it off basically with, you know, they can squeeze you or whatever. Right. So they can like hunt, do stop hunting and that kind of thing. So, but with these Tomb Forks, you find a good one. The first day, the APR is like maybe 200%. Then it drops the second day to 100%. Then it drops the third day to like 25%. I've been in one for 2 months. And I went in with like, I went in with $2,500 and I've pulled out, exchanged for stable coins because they reward you in their token. I've pulled out and transferred back to Anchor $21,000. So I've not been rugged, thankfully, you know, knock on wood, but I've also like seen these things go down, you know, 99%. And I have seen other projects rug, but anyway, for what it's worth. Yeah.
So, but what makes that particular like scenario special? These are sort of like pump and dumps, or what are we talking
in the
about
best
here?
Case scenario, they're trying to do what Terra is doing with Luna, what UST is doing with Luna. They are seniorage mechanism design, you know, DeFi protocols that are trying to create secondary liquidity for the main token in the L1. So they peg a new token that they launch. It's their protocol token. They peg it to the L1 token. So in, you know, the
I get it.
And they're
it.
Basically
I think there's something like that coming to Terra too called Lunar.
Yeah, there is. And I'm interested in that because obviously like probably a higher quality project. But most of these things, they it's kind of hard to explain. Like they're controlled by whales. Basically, they're susceptible to coordinated dumping, and when they get into a big dump, when the, you know, it's just like what could have happened with Terra in the beginning if it wasn't sufficiently well funded.
Well, I mean, you know, these are clearly like baited systems. They're built by people savvy enough to know what they're building, and they know they're not building something for some mega long term longevity. They're basically there's a lot of those protocols that are literally there to just like part people from their funds, essentially. Yeah. So something to think about.
Yeah,
but
totally.
Anyway, you did well here and there with it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been successful with, so I've lost money on, gosh, how many have I even done? I've lost money with maybe like four, and I've made money with two. But I've made so much with the two that it more than made up for, you know, the four. But I, again, super high risk, unbelievably risky. And a good amount of these things will straight up steal your money. So, yeah, I don't know.
So, Sounds very compelling, dude.
Yeah, 100 people lose money and yacked, figured it out, and is the one dude that earned anything from this.
Yeah, there's a ton of people that have made a lot of money on this, but yeah, I mean, I saw something last month where they launched their share token, which is like each one of these things has like a share token. It's kind of like, it's the Luna part of this, basically. It's what accrues the value. And they launched this thing. It went up to like $100,000, and it's now sitting at, I think, $86. And I think somebody tried to buy some at $100,000. So, I mean, that's just how much you know, these things can go down. But again, there are some interesting ways to play these, though, in a less risky way, which is something called Genesis Pool. And you can get 1 or 2% a day with that. But then you have to constantly be finding new projects, going in the Genesis Pool, staking some stablecoin, you get 1 to 2%, and then you pull out. They call it.
Well, is this similar to like the Time W Memo thing? Or
no, it's different. It's not a reflection based thing. It's a seniorage based thing. Yeah.
Anyway. You know, but another general strategy that could make some rational sense if people are just monkeying around is you can take a coin that's staked. You know, like you could take a reasonably high yielding Cosmos coin. Like, take for example, like Akash's price is great right now. It like took a serious dump. It's like at $1 compared to like a high of like $8 kind of thing, right? And it has an emission rate of like 35%. So the good thing about that is you could take the APY off of that. And you know, 35%'s, you know, pretty sizable. In that, like, I think, let me think, right now, I think about 10K worth of that token would essentially get you something like, let me think here. That probably makes you about, I'm trying to think how much per day. Anyway, whatever. The point is, like, if you take something that actually generates some yield, then you take that yield and then you direct that to, and you want to have it a yield that you can use on a leverage platform like KuCoin. And you can take the yield that you get from something and then just go every time you've accumulated enough and the general market takes a dump, you can either spot buy something or use that yield to play some leverage and do a 10x long on something at that point. And then if you do well and you literally 10x that position somehow, then you could take that and then like dump it back into your things that earn some actual yield. And then, you know, rinse and repeat. And you could probably make quite a lot doing that with very low risk.
You know what I just thought of, too? We could take that 100 and throw an LP, couldn't we, for UST Luna?
Yeah.
If I split it. Because then I would accumulate UST if it goes down. Or no, Luna if it goes down, and I'd lose a little bit on the impairment loss. Maybe I'll try that.
Yeah, you know, another line of thinking would be you right now a reasonable thing to accumulate going forward with some of this this play cash would be to accumulate Astroport tokens. And the reason is that a lot of the sort of LP related degen strategies are going to come from you having a greater proportion of the Astroport token ultimately, and that's going to drive like price of that token, or for that matter, like the you figure out where to use some yield from somewhere and get more of the Prism token, because then you can generate yield from that additionally on top of your Y Luna or whatever. So I'm super interested in when Bonded Luna opens up. I was thinking of maybe unstaking my existing Atom that I have elsewhere. Shipping it over to Terra Station through whatever bridge is necessary to make that happen, get the B Atom working for me, and then take that UST yield without all the headaches of going through osmosis and whatnot, and then take that and let's say buy, you know, maybe more Prism token with it. That way I can ultimately, when I can refract my Atom at some point, then I will be able to, you know, use that extra Prism token to my advantage. Something like that is sort of in my head. We'll see.
Yeah. Can I just put forward one more idea in case you're interested maybe in like equities? You could long some stock on Mirror with your newfound UST. I was looking at actually
Facebook. You mean doing the LP?
Not even the LP, just like buy some stock on Mirror and then farm it in the long position. So you get a yield on your stock. Like Facebook is at a pretty attractive discount right now, in my opinion. So is Alibaba.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Baba would be probably a half decent play at this point to play this
game. I think
game.
It just rebounded though, like 50% in the past week.
No, not that much. But it did rebound a bit. But it's still like really attractive considering how, I mean, have you seen what their cash flows are? Like they're supremely profitable and their profits are growing for the better part of a decade. Facebook also, you know, I know that Facebook itself, the platform might not be the most popular thing anymore, but they, you know, have WhatsApp and Instagram, and I'm sure they'll buy more, you know, big companies in the future. I'm kind of looking at potentially using some of my UST to long farm some assets on Mirror. Yeah, specifically Baba and Facebook.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea also. I don't know.
Yeah. All you have to do with stocks really though is you get a little bit. If it goes down, you get more. If it goes down, you get a whole lot more. Any stock that's not going to go to zero represents an easy dynamic DCA, like aggressive strategy. And it's pretty easy to make money doing that in a, like maybe like a 6 month period. Now the downside to stocks though, is that like any kind of protracted global recession, and only God knows what happens to those things. So just people should be aware before they start playing in stocks right now.
Might have to do a community vote, Seffy. But
we live in kind of a fairly unprecedented, well, every time like this is always unprecedented, but like it's a pretty unprecedented situation in global macroeconomics right now for how that might affect the stock markets. That would maybe the like this in the stock section in Mirror Finance, those LP positions might be the safer way to go, because then you're only 50% exposed. If the price of the stock drops, your LP is buying you more of the stock. You're getting the you know, 25 to 35% APY while it sits there, which is fantastic. And then you can let that ride. And then if you have a drop in the price of the stock, you could technically speaking pull out of the LP, take the UST that's in the LP, buy more of the stock when it drops, right? Like let's say an Apple, and then you just let that ride. And that's a very low risk approach, I would say, to making a buck on Mirror Finance if people are interested. But anyway, these are all like tricks to use Lucky's last $100. I think.
Yeah, the number is for my daughter. So we're all playing
for your daughter's degenerate wallet. That you.
She's 3 years old.
No more baby milk for her. Like it's nope. Going to the D-Gen wallet. Okay, water for you, baby. sugar.
She'll thank you later, Lucky.
Later on, yeah. Sugar, any other point? Or Jacob came on.
Yeah, I was just going to ask Steffi, kind of going back to Prism. So I'm doing the, you know, why Luna farming event. And what is your guys' strategies with P Luna then after you refracted it? Are most people just staking and doing the P Luna Prism pool?
Well, you could just simply hold your P Luna with the idea that you're going to refract backwards at some point in the future. If you figured, screw it, I'm going to use this, I refracted, I'm going to use my Y Luna. And I'm just going to like earn the yield off of it for who knows when. That's sensible to me. If you're already spending time and money and energy getting the Prism and X Prism token and you're going to get that yield, you might as well get the Y Luna yield and just hold your Y Luna forever in that system. Like there's not an obvious reason to mess with that because it works, right? So I'm not feeling too strong about like, you know, the idea that I'm going to like convert my Y Luna backwards to Luna again necessarily. Now, in the future, the yield of Y Luna is going to be potentially less. But also, you're going to have the ability with Y Luna to be able to use it on Kinetic Money later. So it might have more utility either way. So what I did with my Prism, I'm sorry, with my P Luna was when it was like $12, it went to like 20. I sold it actually just for cash. And I bought more Prism token with it to kind of boost my Y Luna component. Instead of getting more Y Luna, I just bought more of the Prism token. And I felt like that was a good play because right now I can max out the amps, which will then give me a better output of Y Luna later on or Y Luna anyway. And I end up with a bigger proportion of the total Prism pool, both through the farming and through the ownership of the coin, because the coin price was kind of on the low end. So that's what I did. But you could still do that now, I suppose. The staked percentage of Prism is like, what, is it close to 81% now? There's just not that much left of it. I mean, the another 10% reduction in the available pool is probably going to double the price of Prism. Like, it's just not going to take that much. The supply will be nearly all gone, except for the fact that, like, there's going to be the emissions from the farming to some extent coming.
It's almost at 81%. I just checked it. So it's climbing.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. You just have to like figure out what your play there is. But I think like if you're going to use the Y Luna Prism combo, it at least for now, it doesn't make sense, you know, to use the, what are you going to use a P Luna for exactly? Like have it sit there. See, the problem is having it sitting there is what could you do with it? You could pair it in an LP with P Luna with Prism, and that makes you a little bit. But that, I don't know. Either way.
Yeah,
and that works okay too, in the sense that if P Luna goes up, your relative to the Prism token, you wind up with more Prism token. If the Prism token goes up, you get more P Luna, so you win either way. You're fine. So that's not a bad play either.
Yeah. I felt that they, you know, that Prism was going to continue to go up, right? So I didn't suffer. I wouldn't be too exposed to suffering and permanent loss on my P Luna, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I doubt it.
And so I guess for my Y Luna in the farm, I'm not getting any yield. I just want to confirm I'm not getting any of the yield back in Y Luna. It's all getting swapped and converted to more Prism.
Precisely. Yes.
Yeah. So my trade-off.
Now you can take some Y Luna and put it in the regular farm too, if you want. I'm a regular Y Luna staking as well, but, I'm not sure that makes sense right now necessarily.
Right, not with this APR.
And the reason, 7%. The reason is because like you could sell your Prism token anytime you wanted to, if you don't want the yield boost or you don't want you don't care for the yield of the Prism token. But natively, the Prism token has better yield than Luna does, right? Like arguably, it's the better coin. Like at this point, so I don't foresee wanting to sell the Prism token. And if I don't sell the Prism token, I get the maximum benefit out of it, at least for the coming year, by just keeping my Y Luna alone. That's why I just decided to screw it. I'm just going to take the P Luna and sell it when it was up and then basically just get more Prism token with it. It seemed to make sense to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, and it's working out. I mean, it's the APY is brilliant in terms of the, you know, when you're getting like low risk 65% APY farm and Prism token, that's pretty damn awesome. And it's actually superior to the Luna bonded Luna ARB, right? So that's the other like opportunity cost. If you think about it, like you want to have approximately a 40% APY in this like Prism Y Luna situation. And if the Prism token itself earns you like, let's say 25%, and the Y Luna portion of your like position on Prism is earning, let's say, 60%. So, you know, your average APY is somewhere in the middle, and it comes out somewhat close to the Luna B Luna ARB, assuming that you get perfect ARBs. Whereas this situation, you can manage your situation to where you could add a little bit more Y Luna if you feel like you could, or get a little bit more Prism token to boost your APY. And now you wind up with something that resembles the Luna bonded Luna ARB, but you don't have to keep looking at it. necessarily, and it's just sort of the Prism token itself is going up in value over time too. So that's the primary opportunity that I'm aware of. Like, you know, the highest opportunity play is the Luna bonded Luna ARB, and then the to the extent that it's rational, the Y Luna Prism farm for now, and just like go back and forth depending on tweaking that a little bit to keep your yield up. Maybe, I don't know. We'll see. But here's what's going to happen, though. Let's say, so once the Prism token emissions start, right, some of that will get sold. So that will bring the price of the Prism token down some. But the emissions that you get for holding Y Luna are not related to, they're not related to Prism's price. We can confirm that with Jimmy, right? So all you have to do is, instead of selling your Prism tokens, you just claim and restake those. And if you do that, you're now getting a higher proportion of the Prism pool without having to do anything else, without having to buy any more Prism token. And whoever sells their Prism token, like, they're losing a proportion of the rewards pool or the boost effect, right? And like, you're benefiting from their willingness to sell. And if P Luna's price, I'm sorry, if the X Prism price falls sufficiently, you can just simply grab some UST from somewhere, grab a little bit more Prism token, and just, like, you know, scoop up those buys if you see dips at some point. So, like, no matter how it plays out, you have an opportunity for a win. Like, almost no matter what, you can figure out a way to win this game.
Yeah, that's an important point that I hadn't realized, Sif, until you just said that that pool that's in the Prism farm is its own separate, right?
Yeah.
Which amplifies some of your potential to continue earning.
Exactly. Yeah. So if someone sells if someone sells that instead of just reclaiming and restaking it, then over time it's going to erode their fraction of the yield boost on their Y Luna. So really, it doesn't make sense to me until you don't want to mess with selling any X Prism until the entire farming event is over. You just keep claiming and reboosting, theoretically. And then by that point, I'm sure the gang will have, like, other shit going on. Like, they'll have some other refracted assets by then, and, you know, Prism price will go up even more. So at some point, the price of X Prism will be so much higher than where it is now. It almost won't matter what the hell happens. Like, you could sell it, you could not sell it, other people could sell it. It won't make any difference because it'll be so much this is my opinion. Like, nobody think it take this as gold. Like, I think what will happen is that, like, the price will be so much higher that even if it falls from some arbitrary high point, you're still ahead because you started relatively early, right? So I think we'll be fine either way, no matter what happens. So I'm going to just farm it all the way through and claim and restake all the way, like, to the end of it.
I'm on the Lucky and Sefi train, so I'll keep trying. Just keep spewing.
Sefi, when we did the math on taking the P Luna, splitting it, rebuying Luna, then, you know, refracting again, it didn't make sense. But I want to see if we take our P Luna and we put it in, like, an LP with UST and Luna, what that would look like.
Oh, that would be a reasonable option.
I want to kind of do the math and just look at it just from, like, if I take a couple, I throw it in a pool of my P Luna into a UST Luna, based off the movement of it going up and down, what would happen?
Or you could do a Luna B Luna pool, which also has decent yield, right?
Yeah. But the problem, you're taking your P Luna and you're only taking your P Luna and doing it with. So the question would be, like, when P Luna went from 13 to 18, that $5 difference you have to make up somewhere with wherever you go with it.
But that's only assuming that you have to ever refract backwards, and you technically don't, right? Like, the only time that's relevant is if, like, your Y Luna is cheaper than the amount you refracted it for, where you're going to be like, wait, I'm selling my Y Luna at a loss. But that's not going to be the case either, because if you refracted for your Y Luna, you probably paid only, like, you paid a perfect 50-50 split. Y Luna so far, at least, has been over 50% of the value by a wide margin, right? So I think you'll be okay either way, not having to refract backwards your Y Luna so much as you would have to do so for your P Luna. So I think you'll be okay. Like if you, like in other words, if you had to exit the position for some reason, you could just sell your Y Luna at some point down the line.
Yeah, because you're saying not worry about sell it. My Y Luna future to make up for that difference and take my P Luna and do whatever the hell I want with it. Right.
Yeah. But like, you know, I think the combo of the Prism Y Luna system, especially because you're relatively early and especially because you're getting a greater fraction of the Prism pool, it just may not make sense to ever exit the Y Luna and Prism pool. Right. Like there's also other crap you can do with your life, but this isn't one of messing with this. Isn't one of them maybe. Right. Like maybe we're overthinking it. That's what I'm thinking here is that it's going to be very, very hard for any protocol to beat what we're getting now on this in some sort of like reasonable, sustainable way, especially being relatively early with a substantial fraction of the Prism token. Cause imagine like, okay, Prism token gets staked 90%. They're just not that much. Like, what do you think's going to happen to the price? It's going to moon basically. That's all that can happen to it. Right. And then if it does, then you'll have some sellers, of course, et cetera. But the point is the odds that you're going to be like the odds that your Prism token is going to go back down to, let's say, I don't know, 30 cents in my opinion is like near zero, right? Like there's very little chance of this happening.
Yeah.
So your risk is super low already. And therefore, the right answer is probably just let this ride indefinitely. I don't know. That's just kind of
Ryan's loving this conversation.
Yeah, Ryan's like, I'm gonna dump on everyone. So the Prism's going.
Yeah, Ryan's gonna dump on our ass. Just that, like he's like, oh, these idiots. Yeah, he's like, he arbed that Prism X Prism like 6,000 times, so he's got like enough to dump on all of our asses simultaneously.
they're posting those accounts. It's like actually them taking those arbs that they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. That's
there. The more you guys talk, the more Prism pumps. So just keep it going.
Oh, well, what is it now?
Where were people when it was 30 cents? We're like, we're buying here, guys.
Exactly.
I was trying to figure out what you were talking about, Lucky. That's where I was.
Yeah. It's not bad. Yeah, 74 cents right now. It's nice. Yeah. It's kind of got a pretty, like, there's no actual incentive to sell it, basically. Like, anyone who buys it now has a reason to hold it. So it's like the staking rate's going up. And it has the most weirdly linear price increases of anything, right? And there's just no reason to sell it. Like, it's like, so I don't know. Maybe it just keeps going up to how, no, that's my question I had though. Like, at what point does the price go up so much that it overwhelms even the value of the future yield of Prism and overwhelms the value of like the yield from Y Luna, right? So there comes a point at which it's quote unquote overvalued. What is that number? Like, what's the market cap right now? Let's see. It's
but even that way, like, okay, let's say I make my initial investment back times like two or something, and maybe I take out a little bit. I'm never gonna let them go, knowing where Prism's gonna go. Like, why would I? It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, the Prism token has a $53 million market cap, and the X Prism I think is 42.76, if I'm reading this correctly. So we're under sort of a 100 million market cap. So like, what's rational here? If you look at like how much money is flowing into Terra, I think you could easily, I think you easily like 5x from here, no questions asked. Like, that's pretty much to me, that would be a very straightforward move to me. The risk is actually not being in it than to be in it overall, right? Besides which you can get utility off of it later, like you said, with ongoing yield as the DEX becomes bigger and bigger with like, you know, I don't know how many refracted assets are coming. You know, is it 10? Is it 20? I don't know. Could be a lot. In which case, the transactional yield for your, remember the transactional yield we're seeing now is pretty high, right? We're getting, what's the API on APY on X Prism right now? Someone have that? Let's see. It's, all right. Yeah, it's okay. So it's fallen a bit. It's like 21% APY right now. But, you know, add a dozen refracted, you know, tokens on there and add a bunch of new LPs and whatnot. And people are moving in and out of things. You could imagine it could stay. It could stay this high for quite some time. Of course, there's going to be more Prism token in the wild, too. So your relative yield per XPRISM might go down as the token emissions increase. But as long as you hold those compared to what the cost of your XPRISM is now today, you're still being compensated in even if the APY goes down, because you're being compensated with more actual tokens, right? So you could just keep holding them. And I think it still comes out lucrative. Anyway, yeah, Sayak, you're saying?
I was kind of a little bit of a segue, but still on topic, sort of. But are you starting to accumulate white whale now that it's bottomed out a bit? I know you were talking about it, I think, a little bit earlier, or maybe something
else.
Yeah,
I remember when Ryan bet me. He was like, there was that lock drop thing, and actually, Ryan's right here. He kind of, there was like this informal bet, and it was like, okay, how low is white whale going to go? And I'm pretty sure I said something like, somewhere between a nickel and 15 cents. And that's exactly where it's come to. It's about 12 cents. And the main reason right now is that the white whale token doesn't yet have, like, you know, it doesn't have any serious value accrual, and it doesn't have any serious utility yet. So if you're going to speculate on it, yeah, this would probably be around the time to start doing so. What will typically happen is if Luna starts making a move upwards, people have all this borrowing capacity, and they, you know, everyone just degens into everything, and everything sort of moons. So I think if you are going to bother, like, now seems to be a good time with the price really, really suppressed. I actually traded the thing a couple of times. I don't actually hold it right. Well, actually, I take that back. I do have it accumulating in my Pylon gateway. I just didn't even look at it. And it's doing fine there in terms of overall yield. I had a pretty sizable chunk of UST in there too. And I usually do those Pylon gateways for like the max duration to farm sort of the token off that yield. So I have no risk white whale on that platform, on Pylon gateway. So to me, like, I have nothing to lose. So when white whale dropped, I remember like to 15 cents, I think I bought some, then I sold it like at maybe 25 cents or something like that. And I could buy it again now. And if it goes up, I could still sell it again and de-risk essentially my Pylon gateway position by making a profit on a small trade. So now is probably a reasonable time, if any, to consider getting a little bit of white whale, only because it's depressed so badly, even if it's just simply for like a trade or something. But I do have my main position that I put on Pylon gateway because I'm interested in the overall project. And I figured, like, that I'll just leave it alone. And then when you have the opportunity to stake white whale token for some yield, then I'll just like extract that from Pylon gateway and stick it on there and earn the yield.
Steffi?
Yeah.
I have some non-financial advice here.
Buy more Luna.
That's so funny. What are you teaching her, Lucky?
Like, all about Luna.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she's only worth $500.
Hi, Lucky Baby. Go buy some more Luna. Lucky, I'm going to actually, maybe we could take a question or so, but I've got to run to pick up dinner for the fam. And then I wanted to like get done with all that before we did that Prism session that you're going to host anyway.
Okay.
So maybe Dogs, ask one more question, and then I can try to like feed the children.
Yeah. Hey, thanks.
Because unlike Lucky, I don't use the food fund like to buy more Luna.
You guys notice the Twitter bug seems to start after like an hour or two. It seems to be timed like constricted.
Well, I think we hear each other, right, Sayak? Like, Dog, you guys hear me perfectly fine?
Yeah, I can hear speakers fine. It's after like an hour or two, it's the host that becomes a terminator. Yeah.
The good news is I'll be the host tonight, so you guys can all hear Steffi fine. So
yeah, you know what happens is that when you become a speaker, the voice cuts out, but then when you go back to listener, everything kind of you know, you can hear well again. I guess I just have a general question, Steffi, and maybe Lucky for you too. You know, I have a lot of Luna. But, you know, I've done those degen plays on other chains where I got wrecked, you know, so my level of tolerance is not as high as before. But, you know, because there are so many projects going on Terra, it's really hard for me to kind of know, okay, do I put it in Nexus? Do I put it in Stator? You know, I mean, I do have some on Astroport. I'm going to dial in tonight for Prism, you know, because I certainly want to learn more about Prism. But would you guys like recommend, you know, like let's say you have 100 Luna, would you like divide that 100 into five, you know, so five sections, if you will, and then put 20 in Stator, put 20 in Astroport, and then play around like that? Or would you just, you know, go hard on one specific project? Or like, what would be the best way to, you know, diversify, but also get, you know, exposure to the upside for Luna and all those staking rewards?
There's different takes on this. I think in right now at this moment, I believe I have like under 5% as Wiluna and Prism. And then I have a huge barrage of Luna X and B Luna and whatnot, just coming out of being unstaked is the best term for that. And the reason is because I want to be able to play that, you know, Luna bonded Luna ARB in the meantime. And then I can use those ARB, the income from the ARB, like the, you know, by swapping, and I can then go and buy all the other crap that I want. So I could maybe sell that little bit of Luna from the ARBs. That's sort of what I was playing with right now. Of course, having said that, like, you know, the Luna bonded Luna arbitrage rate has been kind of weak as of this last few days. So I'm kind of watching for that to pick up again with some volatility as we go forward.
Yeah, I have something similar, I think, to Seffy. The way I thought about a dog was, you know, I want to spread my risk across the protocols too. Not that I think anything would happen, but I also don't want to put everything in one basket. So, you know, I probably have 25% through an ARB strategy. I have 30 to 40% between Stator and Nexus. I have, you know, 25% on Prism. And then the rest I'm just kind of doing through Anchor. So it's kind of like I'm spread across, and it's just really, you know, what's the goal? Some of them I just let it go, like a 401k IRA, let it grow and compound. Other ones I'm pushing to the max. You know, I think, again, for everyone listening, the degen was really, you're getting free yield when you do an ARB. You're taking that and spinning off a second wallet. It's not like we're doing something with our, you know, straight capital, just to be clear. So it's all about your mindset and kind of what you want to do and how much you want to push the gas, to be honest.
Yeah, I believe, like, if you have the ability to produce sort of free money, you know, without injecting extra capital, using those for more aggressive strategies, for lack of a better word, or more super speculative types of things, or taking on, you know, leverage plays and whatnot, whether it's with a second wallet and looping, or whether it's running off to KuCoin and throwing a 10x long on something that is bottomed out. All of those techniques are, I think, more rational once you already have like a war chest of either Luna or war chest of capital that you can kind of play around with. If you're not at that stage, then I don't know that it makes sense to do all those games. Like you just might waste a bunch of time, and you take a sure thing and you turn it into a complicated thing. An argument can be made for so between Luna at close to $100 where it's now and Luna at $1,000 where it'll be at some point in the future, I would say the most sane thing to do for a lot of people is just leave your shit alone. Like, some of the stuff that we're talking about is fun and interesting with small spinoff wallets and small amounts of like yield that we've already made. But you don't ever really want to sacrifice the possibility of a very high gain in a very high quality asset. Again, we're very biased about Luna, so it is what it is. But, you know, I wouldn't be, I don't know. I'm not as bullish on some of the other layer one assets in terms of playing these kind of games, honestly. You know, if I was in other inflationary layer one assets in particular, I would be more worried about capital preserving once I have like earned some yield off of those things or whatever. In other words, it's less clear, like, for example, where Atom's price is going to go compared to what Luna's price is going to go by tokenomics and every other measure. So you really have to get a good fundamental about the tokenomics of your store of value or your apex asset or whatever you want to call it. And then you can then figure out how to take yields that you've made off of that and then maybe achieve slightly better elsewhere if you can. And then figure out, is that going to then divert back to getting more of the yield-bearing asset? Or let's say, for example, like Adam's price is reasonably suppressed. Let's say I got some yield off my Luna, in B Luna. And when Bonded Atom comes, I could get Bonded Atom, get some exposure to that while the price is low. And if the price of Bonded Atom goes up, great, my asset value is rising. If it sits still, then I'm at least making that, like right now, 14 to 15% APY. I can take that yield, get myself some more Luna with it, or something like that, right? So it's a way to kind of de-risk or diversify. It's also a way to get more than one price exposure. Because really what you're looking for when it comes to volatility is you're just always looking for a dip. And you always have to have capital available to buy those dips. Where is that capital going to come from? It's going to come from either your job or whatever, or it's going to come from some yield you're getting off of something else. And, sometimes I'll have a wallet sitting over there with some Atom in it or with whatever in it, and it's earning yield, and I won't restake it like automatically. I'll just let it ride for a while. That way, if I see an opportunity and I go, okay, wait, the best opportunity here is to stake Atom again, because Adam's price is low, it makes no sense to sell it. Or let's say if Luna's price dumped, like it dumped in the 80s the other day, I took some of my Atom yield, I sent it to Osmosis, I converted it to Luna, and then I sent it, converted that to Bonded Luna, right? And I kind of made that arbitrage, and then I went and burned it. And that's an example of how I used my Atom to buy the dip of Luna. And you could do the other way around too. Like, let's say you have some Bonded Luna and it looks like, okay, Luna's price is just way too high right now. I don't really want to buy that much more Luna. I want to take that yield and I want to go get something else that's dropped, right? Oh, hey, look, the Prism token's gone down. I'm going to get some of that with my yield. So if you have a list of things you love, list of things you think are going to go up long run, then all you have to do really is find the one that's dumped the most. Actually, you just go window shopping for the cheapest thing you can possibly find and get a little bit of it. And that's not a bad play as well. So just kind of like, but the key is, where do you get the capital to keep discount shopping over and over again? And do you have some things that are decorrelated from other things? It doesn't help you if everything drops together, right? You want to get something else. Like, if that's why we talked about PAX G Gold the other day. Like, we were talking about that because, like, if you are making yield off of a PAX G Gold / Tether bot, then let's say that's running and that's doing well. Okay, fine. You're making your APY off that. But let's say Luna takes a dive, right? But the gold price went up. You could exit that and then go buy Luna with it with the drop. So you can just you could chase whatever's at the bottom by exiting something that you're up on. So you sort of manually rebalancing is what that is. Anyway, so a lot of different tactics, dogs, if you're trying to like just grow things over time. But I would generally suggest taking the least risk possible if you're small, relatively smaller.
That was an amazing explanation. No, and I appreciate that. You know, certainly I've learned a lot from both of you guys joining these spaces every day. I guess if I can ask just a quick follow-up on the Luna B Luna ARB. I know that once you do that and you gain extra Luna, you have to wait 21 days. But my question is, you know, as soon as that 21 days expires, if the ARB is like, you know, 1.5%, is it best to just wait until the ARB, you know, is maybe over 2% and then do the ARB again? Or as soon as it expires and you get your Luna back, just going ahead and doing it again. What's your take on that? Because right now,
you're basically hitting on the magic question. the probably the most important question. And the reason why Lucky and I actually split our Luna into like little chunks every 3 days, we have something coming out of burns. The reason for it is you can think of the period that you're burning your Luna as part of the time it's actually taking to earn that yield, right? think about it as a staked position almost. It takes that time to earn that yield because that's essentially what you're going to, you're paying for the time, right? Or you're getting paid for the time in a way. So if that's the case, by having some of the Luna coming out of burn all the time, the benefit you get is like, so for example, the last several days, there has not been a good arb rate. So I have a chunk of Luna that's just sitting there. I haven't converted to bonded Luna. I'm not earning anything on it either. But the rest of my Luna that is actually waiting to come out of burns, technically it sort of has already earned something. I already got a good arb rate and I'm already waiting for that, right? So I'm just holding my Luna now that's, you know, a small fraction of my total bonded Luna that's being burned. And over the next few days, you know, let's say over the next week, let's say a good opportunity comes, I keep on holding those burns that are like becoming available. And then if I see an arb, then I can spend it on one at that time. But you're not having your whole stash waiting, right? You're always having some of it burning. And I've even thought of this, dogs. I was thinking of this today. I was like, maybe I should just take a small amount. The arb rate's like 1.1%, but say screw it and just take a small amount and just run the arb and burn it again. Because then you have some that's just continuing to burn again. But then I'm like, well, every time I did that, the arb rate would go back to 2.5% the day after I did it. So like every time you think those arbs are going to go away, they sort of come back for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, I still did it. I was like, I'm just going to keep doing the process regardless of the fluctuation.
So, oh, you just did it just because like you're just DCAing the arb.
I mean, because like I took a part of my portfolio and I said, this Luna is strictly ARB Luna and I'm just going to keep building no matter what the rate is. And over the course of a year, I'll see where I come out with an APY. Like, why bother? I mean, this is the same conversation. Like, I pick up Luna at 82 or 93, like, okay, 1.5 versus 2.2 versus 1.7. I'm getting more Luna. As long as it's there, it's there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the other thing, the other opportunity you do have, by the way, if you have Luna in the open, or, you know, unbonded Luna, if let's say the price moves up a lot, you have another ARB you can do too. Well, not an ARB, but you have the volatility play you can make too. Meaning, okay, I'm gonna, sell a small chunk of Luna if the price of Luna goes to $110. And then if it drops to $105, I'm just gonna buy it back immediately, right? So when you're in a rapid upward price movement, the ability to trade off small fractions may be actually worth much, much more, you know, barring like whatever tax consequences, you know, you might have in your situation. But you could possibly make more by taking a tiny amount, like 10% of the Luna that's in the open, not bonded. And while you're waiting for an ARB, if you have a massive price increase, you could clear some of that and then buy back that Luna at, because like if you look at Luna's price, There has never been a 10% move, like I think never, where it didn't drop 5% and you could have just bought back like
right
quickly, right?
Well, that's what I was thinking more doing.
5% volatility sort of, I don't know if the right word is volatility arb, but point is you can make a volatility trade and then not get greedy, like not be like, oh yeah, I'm going to sell it 100 and get it back at 50. No, screw that. You can just sell it and get it back 5% cheaper and just grab it back immediately.
Right. Well, that's what I was thinking. Like,
imagine how fast that is, Lucky. Like,
if Luna goes to like 120, Seffy, and like let's say 120, 130, I might just take a chunk and throw in an LP of UST Luna, and then if it comes back down 10 to 15%, then just kind of step out of that, and then I've gained more Luna. Like, I'm kind of looking at the LP for my exit as we go up and down, and then
you're gonna exit, grab, sell some, get some UST, dump it into the Luna UST
LP,
immediately.
Right. Right.
And then if Luna falls, wonderful. If it goes sideways, great, because you're getting the yield.
Right.
That's true. You can use the LPs at tops to de-risk your position a little bit. That's for sure. Yeah, that's for sure.
So I'm looking at the
same. It's the same thing as a rebalancer bot. Same story. It's usually a pretty effective tool at the tops because if the price goes down, great, you get more of the coin you want. If the price goes sideways, you get the volatility yield. And if it goes up, you suffer from a little bit of impermanent loss on that remaining Luna, but who gives a shit? Because, you know, you're still in the green. Nobody cares, right? Like, so if you're just trying to de-risk a position, yeah, the LP is not a bad play at tops.
Yeah, at fib levels, right? Like certain fib levels, that's what I'm thinking of doing. I'm
Try. Like at about 130, 135, like right around there, you could basically
take it. If I would have done that at the 105 mark, I would have been sitting pretty at 80. And then I would have probably stepped out again at like around 85, 20% down. Yeah,
but my point was if an impending move is coming, the question is, do you stop doing the B Luna Luna ARB for a period of time? And that way you can hold a little Luna ready to possibly do a trade. You know, that's a question mark. Like, you know, because the bonded Luna ARB, like, you know, you're getting that for sure. But I mean, realistically, like, you know, what are the odds that you're going to be able to, with Luna, just judging by its volatility, like the odds that you're going to be able to sell at some price and not be able to buy back 5% lower, that you're just going to be chasing? The odds of that are almost zero. Like, Luna's super volatile. And I think it has to do with people paying off loans and doing exactly what we're talking about. So, you know, there has not been a time where it just went straight to the moon, like, you know, $100 to $200 straight up, right? So it's a possibility. But yeah, of course, as soon as you sell some, you now have to pay attention to it, unless you do it like he said, which is to put it into an LP, and then it'll automatically buy on the way down for you at some level. So yeah, that's not a bad play, Lucky. That sounds and you could just leave it in that too if it goes up a lot. Like, let's say Luna hits like, you know, it goes to a crazy high, like, you know, you go to like $300-$400, right? Something like that is known to happen. So if that were to occur, FOMO season happens by end of the year and you get these crazy high prices, then exiting half to and then plugging it into LP makes perfect sense, because then you're getting all the yield off the LP, and then you're getting you're buying back more Luna on the way down automatically. It worked well. So, but again, like, you'd have to find a break in your Luna bonded Luna burning situation to accomplish this, right?
Right.
So, you know, how much are you going to have available at that time? And that kind of thing becomes a factor.
I'm just trying to figure out what to do with $100 right now. So we got a long way to go.
Can't figure out what to do that 100. yeah. Anyway. So, but like Dogs was saying earlier, you know, I've got that Y Luna Prism situation, and there's no reason to play with that no matter what Luna's price does, right? Because it earns yield no matter what I'm doing. So therefore, I can leave that aside, not touch it. The only thing I might do there would be to augment that system with either more Y Luna or more X Prism if I felt like a dip happened in the Prism token or something like that. Anyway, so yeah, the way to think about dips might be this, like, you go, okay, what's the all time high of a coin and how much down is it as a percentage from the top that it's ever had? And you make a list of the things you make a list of the things you care about. And then, of that list of things you care about, you go, okay, which ones do I want the most? And then whichever one dipped the most, you grab that one. Relative to its top, right? That's how you look at it, and that's how you know you're getting like a discount, because presumably any top of a coin, if it's a good project, will retest that top at some point and exceed that if it's a good project, right? Like, there's a, like, I think Astroport did its dump, and I believe it's now, is it above its original price, Lucky, opposite Astroport? Have you seen its chart? I think it is. Anyway, but the point is, like, the good projects, you want to do this. Like, Mars is a good example of something worth messing with, like DCAing into, you know, checking for dips in that and nibbling at Mars, and then throwing it in governance or something, just waiting and holding it. That's what I'm doing, because it's one of those blue chip projects, and the teams that built it are going to find ways to build value for Mars pretty much no matter what, right? Like, you know that they're going to focus on it. So I think it's going to be a low risk bet for me. So that's one. Astroport, Prism. Do you have any other favorites, Lucky, on your list of stuff you're looking to get?
That's all.
That's my big ones right now. I'm trying to think what else.
I have some white whale, like we talked about earlier, but I haven't bought more. Since I do need to buy some more.
Yeah, I have a half dozen or so things on the Pylon Gateway that's like risk-free, like coin earnings. I have some like mine on the Pylon Gateway as well, which earns you a fair chunk of airdrops, which is nice. It's going up finally. What else?
I mean, I have my Lotera that gets my lottery ticket every week.
So oh, do you still have that?
I get one free lottery ticket every week.
Have you won anything on it?
No, but when I win, I'm not going to tell you.
Wait, you're not going to brag when you win on the Lotera?
The jackpot? Yeah, no, I'm not going to brag.
Oh, okay. Well, you should. I mean, you know, because otherwise we're going to think you're just always losing on that thing. Yeah. Which could be the case, but I mean, like, I'm going to be like, lucky I need to borrow some cash to degen with. I know there's a few folks that have questions, but Lucky, you want to open a space I can run? I don't think my connection is going to hold if I try to drive somewhere. It's kind of rainy.
I was actually going to take a dinner break before we spin it back up in 2 hours.
Is that okay? Right? Yeah. So, why don't we catch up with everybody? Yeah. Sorry if we didn't capture everybody's like last little bit of questions, but feel free to DM one of us if there's any like very specific questions. Otherwise, you know, we'll be around if something pops up. All right, guys, we'll catch up.
All right, bye. See you.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was a CeFi Space strategy sharing recorded on Monday, March 21st, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Glow Yield. Glow Yield is the ecosystem of Terra decentralized apps like Lotto and Creators, all powered by DeFi Yields. Glow Creators helps artists and influencers give their fans exclusive perks through membership, NFTs, and more. Glow Lotto is a PrizeLink savings account with a weekly chance to win the big jackpot. Tickets are free and perpetual, which means there's zero chance to lose money. Be sure to follow Glow Yield on Twitter and join the Discord community to stay up to date with all the glowing projects and check them out online at glowyield.com. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Down the street in my 6'4". I never had a 6'4". A kid can wish though. I snapped the wishbone and grabbed a fistful. Chilling with the dopiness of weed is all I wish for. I'm feeling blissful. I got a missus. My ginger always down to ride no matter what the mission. I'm singing this song. Got a couple albums out. We do alright, but it ain't really shit to write home about. Like to feed the fishbowl. Keep my stories mystical. I like my beats boom bapping rap to be lyrical. I'm feeling cynical. Craving a little ritual. Save my place in line while I try to find a miracle. I keep looking and looking and looking, but never find nothing. We've been lied to, thinking this surprise under super secret lies. Motherfuckers sneak inside, going dark now. Believe me when I say this shit is do or die. Going dark now, believe me when I say this shit is do or die. Going dark now, believe me when I say this shit is do or die. The trenches, trying to stay offensive. Trespassing here like this land looks expensive. Ain't no time like the present. Trying to stake a claim, just make sure your claim stays away from all these other claims. We're almost kind of running out of land here. Living in the day of the dead and it's damn weird. Same teams, y'all, we just trying to get a bite to eat. A little rest saved up, waiting for my time to sleep. Head down, middle fingers up, yo, I'm wide awake. Never hesitate to stay about 100 miles away. Seven time and space, while I wrecking ball the place. I expect you all to play, running marathons today. When the sick get sicker and the rich get richer. It might be about time to rearrange our dinner. Fix the system, the shit, it's all nixed. Waking up early, gonna suck today's. Going dark now, believe me when I say this shit is do or die. Hey, man. All right. Going dark now, believe me when I say this shit is do or die.
going dark down, but they may win. I'll say the shit is do or die. Clark's a great guy, man. He's totally gonna take care of Angela, man. He's great. He's a wonderful lab partner, so it's gonna be cool. We'll keep an eye on her.
Why don't you go fuck yourself, you weird little prick?
I'm a teacher, okay? You can't talk to me like that, guy.
I'm not a student, so I can say whatever the fuck I want.
Channel Spaces.